from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
Off and rolling on a Tuesday. It's July 30th, 2024. That is the date. Welcome in to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on X at GMScoreKuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer, as always. That would be Connor Dunning. He's been on for 2 hours, but you're going to hear him for three more on X at CDunning929. Connor, how's it hanging, brother?
I hope you like Team USA propaganda.
Now, can I have to be completely honest. I was offended last night. I know Connor's like the resident xenophile here on 92.9 ESPN. But one of the most offensive texts I ever got, I mean, that I've ever received, is Connor asking me if I've ever seen Pulp Fiction last night, because you dove in pretty heavy to Pulp Fiction.
Big time into Pulp Fiction.
How in the hell, Gabe, could you ask that to me?
Because I found
that's
out
disrespectful.
Just a few short months ago that you haven't seen Ocean's 11. So I can't make
now
any assumptions.
I have.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Movie rocks, doesn't it?
Well, but Pulp Fiction is just even more classic than The Oceans. What are we talking about
here? I just had to make sure. It was more of me making sure that I can continue to do the show with you. Because if you had said no, Dennis would be sitting here right now. I wouldn't be here.
But I told you, what did I text back? I said, I've seen it 40. I'm going to make it 41 now that you've asked.
Which is a respectable answer.
Yes. But that was, I have to bring it to air. I was offended last night. But I've seen a lot out there that makes me not so offended. The USA, it's really fun to just watch these people compete at the highest level. Simone Biles today. I mean, does it ever get old?
No,
like,
it
seriously,
does not.
Does it ever get old watching her on the floor and do the vault? It's unbelievable. But before we get to that, 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open on the Olympics a little bit. Get to an interesting story that was written in the Commercial Appeal by DeMichael Cole. It's about the new TV deal, media rights. I know they're still having a fight with Warner Brothers Discovery over Amazon being picked over them, even though they feel like they match the $1.8 billion package. But he wrote a story about how this new media rights deal is going to affect the Grizzlies. And there's a lot of ways it'll affect the Grizzlies. Most notably, we're going to have to see how the RSNs work, but also the contractual sort of numbers that you're going to have to get around with this roster becoming more and more expensive by the day. And then the aprons, everything else. It's very interesting what DeMichael wrote. I would tell people to go out right now and go read it. I don't even think there's a paywall for it. Go check that out, because it definitely is very insightful about what we're going to see in the next coming years. So we're going to talk about that as well. As far as guests are concerned, Jeff Calkins will join at 5 o'clock from Jeff Calkins Show on the Daily Memphian. Then 6 o'clock, Christian Fowler will join, as is customary, on the Tuesday from Bluff City Media, the On the Bluff podcast. Memphis Tiger football gets going tomorrow in fall camp. No pads, nothing like that, but beginning of fall camp. We're here. It's here. We have 3 Saturdays until week 0, 4 Saturdays until we get to see the Tigers play game 1. So college football is right on the horizon. Christian Fowler and I will nail that out at 6 o'clock. 6:30, we'll hop into the Blitz. We have some Draymond Green discussion to have. Draymond Green is taking credit for Jalen Brunson taking a pay cut. I don't know how he went out of his way to make it about himself, but Draymond Green has a way to make it about himself every single time. We'll play that clip, and we'll talk about it as we get into the Blitz. We'll rewind at about 6:50. But Simone Biles and the USA women's gymnastics team today wins gold again. Obviously, the 2020 Olympics, Tokyo Olympics, everything went awry. And Simone Biles had the twisties, and she couldn't really get out there and perform at the best of her ability. I watched, you know, the first 2 episodes. I think there's going to be more that come out on her Netflix series. I watched her docuseries.
I think they're filming it during the Olympics.
Yes, and I can't wait until we get to see some of that. But to see, sort of looking back at all the people at that time trashing her, going after her for quote-unquote quitting on her team. Her team needed her, and she just couldn't show up. She ended up not competing. The amount of people that don't understand the work and the stress that goes into these situations, it is honestly dumbfounding. I'm glad I texted you this last night while I was watching it. I'm glad I wasn't one of those people. I was defending her to the death that day, because she did not go through a 4-year Olympic cycle just to bow out. There had to be a deeper reason. There had to be something deeper. It was mental health. Obviously, physically, she was okay. This time around, she still got the calf strain, even though she was phenomenal today. But there was always something deeper, and there was a lot of people that couldn't look past, oh, she quit on her team. It was amazing to me looking back at that. But now we get to 2024, we fast forward, and she's back on top of the world. She became the top Olympic medal winner in USA Gymnastics history today. She has 8 after the women's gymnastic team won in the team competition. And I think they really got over top with her floor routine. It was phenomenal. Like, and again, it never gets old watching her compete. Just the amount of explosion, the things she's able to do that other women have no chance of doing on their best of possible days. She is one of one. And I think people need to realize that and respect that as we go forward.
She's one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen. And to your point, it just felt like when you were watching the documentary, and when you go back and, you know, they've been doing a lot of stories about her on the NBC broadcast, which I have to give credit where credit is due. I think that Peacock and NBC have done a phenomenal job of coverage with the Olympics. I have been locked in. I feel like I have been able to see every big moment that has happened. I don't think I've missed out on anything. So I want to give them credit. They've done a great job. And
yep,
the gymnastics team, the crew, the commentators also did a very good job, because it can be a bit confusing while you're watching the scoring, how that's working. You don't see Team USA on the board, but they made sure that you knew that they were very much so in the lead the entire time. But it is why I am still campaigning. We have got to come up with a new name for twisties.
Yeah.
It is far too juvenile for what it actually
is. It sounds kiddy.
Here's what it is. The twisties is a dangerous phenomenon that gymnasts experience, in which they lose their perception of their body in the air.
And you can land on your neck and kill yourself.
Dead.
Let's be honest.
You could be dead.
And it can kill you.
The idea of it... It's far too juvenile
the idea,
for what could happen to you.
The idea of it is, your brain and your body don't sync together.
Yes.
And if they're syncing together, you can land some of the ridiculous things, contorting your body in the air. But when they don't happen like that, it's absolutely, it's a danger to them and, you know, the rest of the sport. What could potentially happen out there if they cannot sync up their brain and their body? And that's what Simone Biles had. But it's really cool to see her rebound, and I think it's a good redemption story for her. And for those that don't know about her, she was in foster care. Her parents are her grandparents. Like, her mom, growing up, until she was about three, had really big drug issues. So her grandparents had to take her in, and that's why she lived in Houston. So it's like she was in foster care for 9 months. Like, so the amount of things she's had to overcome and, you know, continue to overcome, even through her Olympic trials and errors, it's unbelievable, man. And I have so much respect for her, especially after watching her Netflix documentary.
Well, and she is in the conversation. It's not just female athletes. It's not just Olympic athletes. She is in the conversation for most dominant athlete we have ever seen.
Yes.
And there was a really cool moment that happened during the broadcast today where they went from Michael Phelps to Serena Williams to Simone Biles. And all of them, in my opinion, are in the same realm. They're in the same world of no one else in their sport even comes close to touching them. Not even close.
Well, isn't it wild, too, with swimming in particular? I've been watching some of the swimming.
Disappointing.
Some of the finals. It's disappointing, but also, how much of that is just getting used to Michael Phelps winning 29 freaking medals? Like, how much of that is just watching Michael Phelps Olympics after Olympics dominate the competition in every possible stroke, every relay? It's like, it's almost an unfair, you know, bar that he set for Olympic swimming, and you just can't ever live up to that realistically. Katie Ledecky on the women's side has done a hell of a job, but even she can't get close to that. No one can get close to that. He is the most decorated Olympian of all time. 29 medals later, you just look back and you're saying it's disappointing, but how do they tend to medal consistently.
Yeah, but they should
just
be winning.
But they're not doing what Michael...
This is America, Gabe. We're number one.
They're not doing what Michael Phelps did. Is when you say it's disappointing what you've seen in swimming, you're saying they're not doing what Michael Phelps did, and that is an impossible
ball. Well, it's been disappointing in that the events that I have watched, they have been leading for most of it, and then right at the end, they give it up, and they become silver or bronze. So that has been a bit disappointing, and it seems like I'm not the only one that's been a bit disappointed by U.S. swimming. So hopefully we can see some more goals there. Ledecky did have a moment today where she looked up, and she was finished with her race, and it was basically a full pole length before anybody else finished. Yeah. She just had to wait there for a while.
Yeah.
So that was pure domination. So hopefully that can lead to some goals. But like, if you look at the swimming breakdown, they have 15 medals so far, 2 gold, 7 silver, 6 bronze. A lot of those silvers were supposed to be golds. A little disappointed.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. I know Michael Phelps set the bar high, but like, come on, y'all. We can do a little bit better.
USA. That's you right now. USA. USA.
You're damn
see,
right.
I don't know.
But we make up for it by getting bronze in men's gymnastics.
There's a lot of good swimmers around the world, okay? United States swimming does a hell of a good job, but Michael Phelps just set the bar so damn high over the years that you just expect it and expect it. You see a U.S. person participating in any type of race, you expect them to go
fair
on
enough.
Because of what Michael Phelps did.
I will say, at least for the men, it is difficult because the star of this year's Olympics seems to be Leon. He is awesome.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being the star Olympian in your home country and winning gold?
That's fun. That'd be a great time.
It's a great life.
Also, we have the you know, 3-on-3 U.S. teams. Not great. Women's lost. Men's lost to Serbia. I think the men ultimately played again today and won. I just saw Jimmer Fredette talking
about it. He was getting interviewed. We didn't get to see the final score because we were transitioning shows.
Yeah.
So I'm not.
I guess they won.
I'll go check.
I guess they avenged.
They better have won.
I guess they avenged, but that's not been great. That's not been great for the most part. What was fun, too, for me, is watching that rugby situation unfold today. Was it Alex Cedric? It was last second, final play of the game, rugby sevens for the women. Alex Cedric trucks a woman from Australia and goes 94 meters to go score and win the game, and they end up with a bronze, which I don't believe they've ever really had. I don't know if they've medaled in a long time.
No, first time.
First time they've ever medaled in rugby. And then the Alona woman, I don't know her last name. She's very fun
Meyer.
On social media. Alona Meyer on social media. She's really fun to follow.
She's awesome.
Yes. But I honestly think that's what the Olympics have become. You know, now that Michael Phelps is stepping away, we'll see, has stepped away. Simone Biles, I don't know if she'll ever participate again. It's we're finding people that we can latch onto going into the future.
So,
right? It's different people, and I think that's what makes it so fun.
A cool stat from today, Allie Raisman, when she started the day, was the oldest Olympian to ever medal for the gymnast team. She is now in fourth place because Simone Biles is now the oldest, and then I believe Jordan Chiles and Jade Carey are 2-3 now. So I would have to expect that this is going to be Simone's last Olympic performance. We might see her compete again, but it seems like on the documentary, they're kind of laying the groundwork for this might be the last
one. No one gets to 27 years old and can do what Simone Biles is doing.
Well, and
No one can do this.
Jeffrey and I dove into it a little bit because we were curious why we are seeing older athletes now competing in gymnastics. It seems like because of the NIL opportunities that you can get in college, specifically with gymnastics, they are going to college instead of going straight to the Olympics. So that is the explanation.
Okay. But, I mean, Simone Biles, I know she's 27 years old, and by the time it rolls around next, 31 years old. I know she probably won't participate, and this should be her last go-around, but it still feels like she can... She could probably go through another Olympic cycle.
I would hope to see her again. I will say, as long as like Suni Lee and Jordan Chiles are there, yeah. I think Team USA is going to be okay.
They're going to be good.
Simone is the star of the team, but in my opinion, the best performance of the day came from Suni Lee.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Her floor routine, I actually had goosebumps and I got emotional.
Yeah.
The shot of her on the bar is one of the coolest Olympic shots I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
Did you hear what their team name was? They've deemed themselves F Around and Find Out.
Okay.
Well, everybody else found out.
I dig that.
Shout out to Brazil, too. They medaled.
Yeah, but we're still going to have time to see Simone Biles before the Olympics.
Yeah, she's not done.
On Thursday, it will be the all-around, and she's posted the top scores. She posts top score in vault and floor. She leads the all-around competition, and then Thursday will be the final. I think because the United States was so dominant, you can only bring two people into the all-around, even though I think Jordan Chiles was fourth in the all-around by the time they got through. But it'll be Suni Lee and Simone Biles participating in the all-around on Thursday for the final. And I'd imagine Simone Biles will be on top unless something crazy happens. She's ridiculous. And she will participate in all four events. She's going to be ready to go, regardless calf injury or not. But I'd imagine at 27 years old, doing the amount of explosion and jumping, all the explosive work, it's going to be harder for her to be able to keep up with her body. That is a very rough and tumble, no pun intended, that's a tough sport to stay healthy in. And the fact that she's been through three Olympic cycles staying relatively healthy is nuts. It is truly significant, and people need to pay attention.
And she is dealing with a minor a calf injury, right? I guess we don't know how severe it is. I can confirm what we just saw as we were training. That was a replay of 3-on-3. They did lose to Serbia.
Oh, they lost to Serbia.
So we are
both 0-1.
We are 0-2 in 3-on-3. The women lost to Germany, and the men lost to Serbia.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting who they pick for 3-on-3. It feels like there's better options out there, but I guess those better options have to want to.
I like Jeffrey's idea. If you're not playing, if you're on the roster for Team USA basketball,
is this the Jason Tatum thing?
And you sat out, yeah, maybe.
Tyrese Halliburton and Jason Tatum.
But for real, though, it's like, imagine, I know that we want to see John Morant on the main roster, and he should be on the main roster in 2028, but could you imagine Ja in a three-on-three setting?
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely not.
It would be a bloodbath. It would be a bloodbath because it's such a chaotic game. Most of it's built on speed. He would probably put up 21 by himself.
Well, the amount of people, I think shooting also needs to be pretty, he'd be phenomenal.
Well, and that's why.
But shooting's pretty massive because you sprint back out, you take the ball out, and you put up a three immediately before the defense recovers.
But come on, we're Team USA. We should never be losing in basketball.
I completely understand that. And also, I was thinking about this yesterday. We talked about the Jason Tatum not playing in the first game against Serbia, and it looks like U.S., they're gonna resume tomorrow. They're going to play South Sudan. And I'd imagine Jason Tatum gets more run because there's more athletic wings, and they're going to want to play him a whole lot more. They may sit a big. I wonder if Bam Adebayo gets less run tomorrow. We'll see. But the more I read through Steve Kerr's comments and talking about matchup, dictating him not playing Jason Tatum and going with Derek White, the less I buy it. Because what would have been the difference? How big of a difference would it have made if you played Jason Tatum over Derek White? Just generally speaking. A first-team All-NBAer, a guy who can play defense at a high level, who does everything on the floor at an above-average rate. What would the difference have truly been? You'll win by four less points? It's just strange to me. The more I sat back, and I know that this was the best full game that the United States has played through exhibitions and on into Olympic play. But the more I sat there, the more I started to realize how dumb of a decision it was and how disrespectful of a decision it was for Steve Kerr to leave out Jason Tatum.
Well, Devin Booker played 26 minutes. Did Devin Booker need to play 26 minutes in that game?
Probably not.
You couldn't have given him 23 minutes and at least give Tatum three. Like, it's, and that is why I do understand that we are having the conversation about, is it disrespectful or not? In my opinion, for a player like Jason Tatum in a blowout game, it is disrespectful not to play him. You can disagree with me, but it is disrespectful to not play him. And it was an odd decision by Steve Kerr, especially when you look at the lineup. And to be quite honest, he made it worse by trying to explain it away and then going, you know what, I feel kind of dumb for not playing him. Well, because you kind of are.
Even the normal explanation that I think a lot of people that follow Team USA and saw the game, they sort of go with. They're like, oh, the matchup dictated it, and Derek White was better on ball. You needed that one premier defender out there covering the backcourt of Serbia. Like, people just bought into that, and the more I started to just read through that, the more I called it, I called BS for BS.
It's not like Tatum's a bad defender.
It's not like Tatum throwing him out there in the same amount of minutes that Derek White had. It's not like you're going to have some massive fall off. It's still Jason Tatum out there.
Did you see what he said today?
No, I didn't.
Steve Kerr said today, it's time for them to get Steph Curry going.
Well, Kevin Durant and LeBron James are playing pretty damn well themselves.
You're also the coach, so draw up some plays, bro. And maybe don't pull him after he hits three threes in a row.
But also, like, I don't know. That's a little favoritism, don't you think, as well? I mean, Kevin Durant was ridiculous. Kevin Durant got Kevin Durant going. LeBron James this entire time has gotten LeBron James going. Yes, you can draw up some things for Steph Curry, but I think it's still on Steph Curry to get himself going. You look at a lot of these other players on this team, they have taken the initiative to get themselves to their spots, knock down some open jumpers. Anthony Edwards did it a lot during the exhibition games.
But doesn't that just kind of feed into the ongoing narrative that Steve Kerr really doesn't know how to operate with this team?
Because I think it's fair.
You should, if you want to get a player going, you should be running offensive sets for them.
And to your point, a lot of the post game remarks and the remarks he makes, he's saying things that he has control over.
Exactly. That's it's very weird. It's odd. It's like he forgets that he's the coach. It's like, hey man, you're the one with all the decision. You can make these decisions. You talk about effort. You talk about rotations. You talk about getting Steph Curry going. You talk about not playing Jason Tatum. You have control over all of that.
What's going to be frustrating, because I'm really, like, I've been on fraud watch. I don't know if Steve Kerr is the best for USA basketball. I think you could find somebody maybe a little bit better. But what's going to be kind of nasty is when this team ultimately rolls in, wins every group stage game, wins the tournament, gets gold, he's still going to be bailed out, and nobody's going to be thinking about making any type of switch anytime soon. So Steve Kerr is still going to get a fair amount of love by the end of this whole thing, even though I don't know if he's the one who's earned it. I think it's the players that he actually has on this roster.
Would a single person out there, if you said Eric Spoelstra or Steve Kerr for Team USA,
I'd say
coach,
Spo.
Would a single person pick Steve Kerr?
Warriors fans, maybe?
Yeah, I got to check your idea. Where are you from?
Tell me if you're from the Bay Area, you can't vote.
Even if you're from
Miami, but if you have a bunch of neutral sort of voters or survey goers, I guess, if you had that out there, I think Spo would probably get a fair amount of the vote. And I think a lot of people, I mean, looking at that FIBA World Cup team and the way he used Jaren Jackson Jr. when you had Walker Kessler there on the bench, he clearly he tries to force some square pegs into round holes, and he doesn't quite have a feel for how he's supposed to run out. When he has that much talent, he seems to sort of struggle a little bit with who he's supposed to put out there, who he's supposed to have on the bench. And you can't have that. Coach K never had that issue. Coach K knew exactly what he was going to get out of the guys that he put in the game. And Steve Kerr does not have that same feel. And some people would argue, hey, maybe it takes a little bit more time, but this is Team USA basketball we're talking about. I don't know if you should be afforded a hell of a lot of time to go figure out how to play with 12 freaking All-Stars or 12 Hall of Famers. You should probably know how to do that. It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, and listen, yes, they're probably going to win most of their games by double digits. Yes, they're probably going to win the gold medal. They're easily favored. They should win the gold medal. Steve Kerr is not going to prevent the team from really winning anything, but we should be winning by 20.
I have been there the entire
time. Bury them.
That's the truth of it. In the end of the day, a team like Serbia doesn't have near the talent of you. And I know that even France, they'll say, oh, well, France and Canada.
France.
Well, when we're talking about, like, France and Canada, they have Evan Fournier as a starter in their backcourt, whereas you have Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, and then your backups are Ant Edwards and Devin Booker. They're still – and Lou Dort's out there as a starter for Canada, and I love him. He's a great player. He brings tenacity. But we're talking about pure all-stars in the NBA on this USA side. We're talking about guys who play good roles and are good players, but they're not on the same level as the guys that the Team USA possesses on that roster.
Right.
Yet you're saying, oh, well, they're supposed to challenge you. Yeah, they can challenge you, but it should not be as close as some of these games have been.
I would like to see them not start a game slow. Like, it just feels like they continuously start games slow when they're coming back from behind. And they're leaning on a 40-year-old LeBron James a whole bunch.
And I hate to oversimplify this, but when the ball sticks, they struggle. When they move the ball, they're great. When they work together, they're good. When they don't work together, they are not that great.
Well, and when they get to play longer than 5 minutes.
True, but I hate to oversimplify it that way, but offensively, that has been the golden ticket. And it's not even necessarily things Steve Kerr needs to draw up, but he needs to sort of lean on the fact and put out there in the world, put out there to his roster, hey, move the ball a little bit more. You guys are all unguardable. Be unguardable. You're more unguardable when you move the ball better. Don't do all this one-on-one nonsense and try to go get a bucket for yourself at all times. Move the ball, and we'll be able to score on anybody any given day and probably hang 120 on everybody in this tournament. But he's got to get that across. He's still got control of that. He's still got power over that. And he's still sort of screwing around. He's screwing around to a certain extent. And I will say, I did see their you know, press availability before South Sudan today, and they said, "Oh, we're not going to take them. We're not going to take them as lightly as we did last time." Well, I hope not. I hope not. I don't think a 1-point game against South Sudan should be how you get to your second game in group stage in the Olympics.
Yeah, shout out to them.
Run away!
They got the win.
I respect South Sudan, and also Lou Aldang. Shout out to him, man.
Incredible.
For 4 years, he has been funding that entire team out of his pocket. Lou Aldang deserves a lot of credit for where they're at right now. And I think as much as the players on that roster deserve credit for that win, Lou Aldang
absolutely
deserves a lot of
credit. Now Team USA go beat them by 30.
Yes. Now, all that said, I think it should be an absolute bloodbath tomorrow night. I hope it is. But the best place to bet the games this summer is FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Then you can bet all your favorite international teams and all your favorite sports, from basketball to badminton to soccer to swimming. FanDuel has it all. So don't miss your chance to score $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K to sign up and start betting the games today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit is required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now, DeMichael Cole, who covers the Grizzlies for the Commercial Appeal, tabbed a story today about how the new NBA media rights deal, which is 11 years worth $76 billion, is going to affect the Memphis Grizzlies. There's some interesting points that he made, and I will pose them next right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. How the new TV media rights deal is going to affect the Memphis Grizzlies. Again, great story by DeMichael Cole. I encourage you to go read over a Commercial Appeal. There's been a couple of Grizzlies players that have performed pretty well for their respective countries. I want to start with Santi Aldama, 19 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks. Against Greece and a dub for Spain. Well done by him. And it looks like Spain, they're really, you know, relying on him to be one of the best players on the team. And it's pretty impressive to see what he is able to do in the international game. It seems like he's very used to it and comfortable using that FIBA set of rules. And also, how about this? Yuki Kawamura, right? He's the Exhibit 10 guy that the Grizzlies signed, I think, previous to Summer League. But he's going to be on Exhibit 10 contract. He ended up losing today to France, 94-90, and Japan lost 94-90 to France, I should say. He ended up with 29 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists in the 94-90 OT loss. to France. And if you know anything about this guy, and I encourage you to go watch a little bit of film on him because he's just fun in general. But he's 5'8". He's a 5'8" point guard. And he just scrambles around, really good ball handler. Obviously can't really get to the rim, do anything like that, puts up a bunch of threes. But he's sort of their star player there with Japan. 29 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists for a guy in international play that is 5'8". And he's 23 years old, too. So we'll see if he ever can land in the NBA with some team. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Did you see the photo of Wemby and one of the other Japanese guards today? Who was like,
oh, yeah, he's 5'4".
I think he's like 5'4".
Yeah. He's a full 2 feet taller than him.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's fun.
The pipeline, Japan to Grizzlies pipeline is strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I just got distracted. They're replaying the rugby win, and I just looked up, and it was the end run, the miraculous run at the very end.
Are you doing the Yuta thing? We got Yuta, and then now we have Yuki.
Yuta and Yuki.
This pipeline, they try to go make it happen for the Japanese players.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work out all the time.
No,
although Yuta was fine.
Yeah,
but
he's
retired now. He's
retired from the NBA.
The NBA, but he's headed over to Japan to play.
Yeah.
And he could probably make a lot more money.
Oh, he's the star.
He's an absolute star.
Star.
Yeah. So it makes a lot more sense.
Good for him.
Yeah, 100%. And also, before we get into it, it looks like Precious Achiuwa has been re-signed by the Knicks in the past, it's been like 5 minutes. While we were at the break.
Good for Precious.
Precious Achiuwa, 1 year, $6 million deal.
Good for him.
How did he end up getting that type of money? Tyus Jones gets 3.3. All these guys signed a minimum deals. Precious Achiuwa ends up back with the Knicks for $6 million.
It seems like the fan base really fell in love with him because, you know, he didn't get to play
too much. He filled in pretty well.
But he fills in
very
well.
When they didn't have their bigs.
And he fits the type of player that, you know, Tibbs likes to play with. Loves a player like Precious Achiuwa.
Run up and down the floor. Play good defense. Don't be so involved on the offensive end. Play extended minutes if I ask you to. Yeah, it fits perfectly.
He's had a pretty good career so far.
Yeah. I don't know. What's his peak, though? I know he's still young, but what can he aspire to be at the peak of his powers in the NBA?
I think a
still
rotation
a solid
guy.
Role player.
I think a solid
what he
rotation
is now?
Guy. Yeah. Well, I think a little bit higher than what he is now, because I don't know if he's going to necessarily break the rotation every single night for the Knicks, but, you know, I think he's kind of, oddly enough, in Santi territory for the Knicks. Like, he's going to kind of play that type of role where he may not play every single night, but, you know, he'll get minutes.
Yeah.
I do think, though, he may be able to become a regular rotation guy at some point.
Yeah, but with the Jalen Brunson, you know, pay cut, he has taken Mikal Bridges, potentially taking a pay cut on his next contract. They're going to be able to have some depth there.
Absolutely.
In New York.
Absolutely.
And they have been
that's
what
stopped
them last
year.
That way. Yeah. They've been blessed that way. They need depth with Tibbs, coaching the team.
They definitely. I do wonder if there was a conversation with the front office and Tibbs, though, that was like, listen, man, this is a team that can actually get it done during the playoffs.
Calm the hell down during the regular season.
Yeah, let's make sure they're not playing 40 minutes every single night, please.
Well, the problem is you have Josh Hart still, who's an Iron Man in his own right, and then you have the Iron Man in Mikal Bridges. I mean, Tibbs is going to still play those guys crazy minutes in probably every game.
Tibbs' teams, though.
They're giving him excuses. They're giving him the types of players that can do that, that have shown to be able to do that in the past.
They got to start faking injury.
But I don't need him to. It's not necessary.
Yeah, but here's a six-week stretch that Precious had from January to April with the Knicks last year. He had 13 points, 9.8 rebounds, 1.1 steals, and 1.8 blocks in 36 minutes a night.
Pretty good. All right, now on to DeMichael Cole's interesting article. A couple things I learned. It's about how the new TV media rights deal that the NBA has signed with NBC, ESPN, and Amazon, 11 years, $76 billion, is going to affect the Memphis Grizzlies. Obviously, it's going to affect the league as a whole. More revenue being shared, more money in everybody's pockets. But the first thing I learned when reading DeMichael Cole's piece for the Commercial Appeal is that league-wide coverage will greatly increase under the new deal. I know I sort of knew that, but with the 100 games that NBC is prepared to throw up during the regular season, the 80 games ESPN is prepared to distribute during the regular season, and Prime Video 66, the estimation the NBA has given the Grizzlies about how many games will be available on broadcast TV has jumped from 15, at least 15, to 75, Connor. 75 per year is the estimation that's been given by the NBA for broadcast television, national television, how many games the Grizzlies will be on. Obviously, that's helped by Ja Morant. Obviously, that's helped by this young core that's very exciting to watch. They're a league pass team. I understand all of that. But 75 games is absolutely nuts. To be able to put yourself on the national stage, to be able to get that type of brand exposure 75 times a year or four times plus the amount of games you were on national TV before, that is massive for the Memphis Grizzlies. To be able to bring in a casual fan, to be able to bring in more national fans, that is huge for a franchise that's in a small market.
That's incredible. That's awesome. And, you know, Jeffrey and I were having a conversation on their show, his show, about how I am specifically going to be watching Memphis Grizzlies games moving forward because I don't have cable. And,
right.
You know, we do have a deal with Diamond Sports, and they'll be on Bally for at least another season. And but I was having the conversation about, okay, well, I'm not going to buy cable and pay $20 extra just so I can watch Grizzlies games. Problem solved. If this is the direction it's going to go in, then I'll be able to watch the Grizzlies on a national platform, which I will say I will be losing something.
I do sort of wonder. That was my next thing, and I'll get to the RSNs right now because James Dolan had a big issue with it. He said in the letter he tabbed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right. To all the rest of the governors, he said it's unviable. The
worst person in the world makes an okay point.
Yes, the future of RSNs. But I do wonder how that many broadcast nationally televised games is going to affect the local broadcast. And the guys like Pete and Brevin and Rob Fisher and Chris Vernon, how is that going to affect what they do night to night? Because the way the old deal was structured, they could only have so many games running side by side with national television. And I think it was like the first five of the year. Maybe I'm getting this wrong. First five of the year, you cannot. You're blacked out on Bally Sports, but then after that, you're allowed to roll your regional broadcast and the national broadcast at the same time. I am wondering if there's going to be a different style or a different number of games that they add to this with how many are going to actually be on national television, with it potentially reaching up to 75 a year. It could affect it in a very negative way.
I hope not.
I think
that we can all agree. And yes, we have some bias because we are from here, but on a national scale, you hear it every single year. They are ranked every single year at the top of list because they are the best the best. When you're watching the games, I feel like they try to be unbiased as possible. They are knowledgeable. They are exactly what you want from an NBA broadcast when yes. you are watching it. Every single thing
about their
crew. And
there's a reason they are ranked at the top of the league every single year when awful announcing does their
I really hope that there is a solution to which they can still be on television as many times as possible.
So,
I hope so.
This was on Monday, but Diamond Sports Group reached a deal with Xfinity finally, because if you've been on Xfinity, you've realized that you've not been able to get Bally Sports for probably the past 2 months. But on August 1st, you'll be able to get it back. That will help for next year. But what's after next year? What's beyond that? Because that's when this new television media rights deal is actually going to kick in. Regional sports networks are going to be very, very strange to deal with for each particular franchise, and we have the Suns going about it their own way. Matt Ishbia immediately took over and made it just about free, put it on every cable.
Jazz did something similar.
Yeah, but they're making it available on cable for more people. I mean, they're doubling their potential viewership numbers across their state and across their region. So you're going to have it different, and it's not unlike what we have now, but you're going to have it different in most every city that a franchise is placed. But what's that going to mean for the Grizzlies? Who do you sign a deal with? How are you going to be able to enjoy Pete Brevin, Rob, Chris Vernon on those calls every night? That's something that I don't think will go away, obviously, but it may be harder to access going forward, and you may not see it as much going forward.
And did you also see that it is going to be $20 additional now with your cable package to have Bally Sports?
Yeah, I did see that.
That's the package. And the kicker that I really enjoyed was, if you sign up for the new package that they have, I think it's like premium, I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah.
If you sign up for it before August 30th, you get 3 months free. When does the Chrissy season start, Gabe?
Late October.
Doesn't really help me much, does it?
Yeah. Well, but here's the other part. I just wish we would streamline some of these things. Yeah. We're just caught in between. We it was originally supposed to be we go from the linear cable package directly to streaming. Then we've had this crossover for some time. But now they're doing all these bundles to where they're basically taking their streaming and making a linear cable program. I just wish we had a little bit more uniformity and understanding of where we need to head with this thing.
Yes.
And get there quicker. We need to get there quicker.
Absolutely. And it is, unfortunately, the reality of the situation is that the consumer is coming in last place again.
Always.
It's difficult. It's so, and that is why, you know, all of the respect to the local broadcast, like, we prefaced it with that. I am rooting for Amazon to get some sort of deal. So hopefully that one day I can just flip on Prime and the Grizzlies broadcast is going to be there. And hopefully those local guys can be a part of that, because it is so damn confusing trying to find all the places to watch and the different logins that you have to have. And is it on the app? Is it on cable? Is it on the app? Is the app going to work? Do you have to log into the desktop version? It has been a mind F trying to watch Grizzlies games recently. And it has nothing to do with the broadcast, because they are fantastic.
Yes.
When you can actually tune in and watch, it is 10 out of 10 basketball television. It is so damn hard to figure it out, though. It is so difficult to figure it out because I don't have cable. So I have to find ways to find the Grizzlies.
And it's hilarious how every consumer expresses these feelings, but they continue to be sort of dimmed. No one really cares. Now, we're making $76 billion on this new deal as the NBA. We don't really care how you feel in the end of the day.
Well, and that's why it was so frustrating, is that when they were like, here's the Bally app, and you paid a subscription for the app, and you were supposed to be able
to. And it didn't work. And if you were signing in using Xfinity in the last few weeks or last couple of months, you can't access the Bally Sports app because Xfinity and them they were at odds. And there's been a lot of examples like that over the years.
The rumor is you may be able to do that moving forward. So I'm hoping.
Okay.
I'm hoping, because allegedly, I may use somebody else's account to sign in.
Instead of trying to sign in using your provider, just go deal with the Bally Sports app by itself. Just buy a subscription to Bally Sports and then watch it that way if you're going to go about it going into next year. If that's how you consume the Grizzlies, I would suggest that, unfortunately, because signing in through Xfinity has always been a problem.
It shouldn't be this damn hard to watch the Memphis Grizzlies play basketball, period.
Exactly. Now, also, on the floor, at least I guess, you know, as far as the cap number is concerned, with the new deal coming in 25-26, there is, with the new CBA, an addendum that says you can go up with the salary cap 10% per year. Based on the money and the projections that the NBA is going to have, they should go up 10% for the first 3 years. They might reach that 10% for the first 3 years. Now, we know that Ja Morant and Desmond Bane have already received maximum extensions. Jaren Jackson Jr. is the next in line. And in September of 2023, ESPN reported that Jaren Jackson Jr. would be eligible for a 5-year Supermax deal, potentially worth $318 million, and that would be next summer. That would obviously make him the highest paid player in NBA history. Under the collective bargaining agreement, Jackson will be able to sign a max extension worth 30% of the Grizzly salary cap in 2025. He will have to make an all-NBA team or win Defensive Player of the Year to meet the Supermax criteria for a contract worth 35% of the team's salary cap this upcoming season, which would be that 5-year, $318 million deal. And that is going to get expensive very fast, and you wonder how they're going to fill out the rest of the roster. Now, the more the salary cap goes up year after year after year, the better hands the Grizzlies will be in. They can get under those luxury tax aprons and figure it out. If the cap keeps going up, they it'd make it more affordable. But you hope it goes up by that 10% every single year. And you hope that they get this out of the way next offseason, because they need to get it out of the way next offseason. But it's going to get more expensive and more expensive to afford this roster. And they need to take advantage quickly. They need to take advantage of getting to that championship window now and not off into the future. You can't think for the next 5 years. You have to think for the next 3 to 4 with the way that these guys are going to get paid going forward.
No, absolutely. And that is why in the future, to be able to continue to play competitive winning basketball, the Grizzlies are going to have to pay a tax and have to go into the aprons a little bit. If they want to be serious about contending, those things are going to happen. And that's why you and I have had some frustration with people during this summer specifically.
Yeah.
Because there are some out there that have the belief that the Grizzlies are being cheap
right now
by not doing that. And it's like, hey, dude, they're getting ready to pay Jaren Jackson Jr. That is why they are not going into it right now. That is why they are trying to do a team-friendly deal with Luke Kennard. That's why they're getting off of Zaire Williams. That's why, in my opinion, they're probably trying to find a place for John Kotchar. They're trying to free up as much money as humanly possible now before they have to back up the truck to Jaren Jackson Jr. Because, I mean, to be quite honest, I think he deserves it. You have to pay the guy.
Yeah.
He needs to be here in Memphis. Your ceiling is way lower if Jaren Jackson Jr. is not on that roster. But
the
you have to do the work now to be able to pay it later.
A lot of people that think they're being cheap this year won't understand the implications of spending a bunch of money now until they're in year 5 of a Jaren Jackson Jr. extension and he's making $73 million that year.
Well, and
you don't understand until it's too late. You don't understand until it's actually on your doorstep.
And that's why it's such a big deal that you have G.G. Jackson on the deal that he has.
That's why it's such
a big deal that you have Vince on the deal that he has. Those are two key pieces of your rotation that you
potentially
paying,
Scottie Pippen Jr. going
potentially,
forward.
And it's why they haven't converted him.
Yes. You have to, as much as I sort of hate the thought of this and, you know, getting over on guys with cheap contracts, you have to get some cheap labor. You have to get some cheap players and value out of those cheap players going forward in this NBA, or it's not going to work for you. Or else you're going to have to blow up a roster every 3 years if you just pay everybody on it.
I will say, I have some hesitation of saying that we're getting over on guys by paying them millions of dollars.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, like to you know.
I see your point, yes.
To the people listening to us at a car shop right now, I understand. Like when we're talking about millions, you're not actually getting over on these guys, but still, G.G. Jackson,
it's a steal.
Going into next year, could be worth more than what, 4 years, $9 million, whatever the contract he got
offseason. How much would he have been
worth? Vince Williams Jr., 4 years, $7.5 million. He's going to be worth more than that in the next couple of
years. How much would G.G. have been worth if they didn't do that midseason?
I don't know. You would still convert him off a two-way. So I think usually those guys accept whatever's on their table because that's what they have to do.
Point being, they did it the right time.
Yes, they did it at the right time before everything got hot. I understand that. But in the end of the day, you kind of are getting really good work out of guys that are making very, very minimal dollars in the grand scheme of the new NBA and where we're at with contracts. And that's something that a lot of teams are going to have to practice going forward if you want to compete at the highest levels.
Right.
You have to get the most out of a little bit of money. So we'll see how it all works out. But I found it very interesting. Go read it at the Commercial Appeal. To Michael Cole, outlined it all very, very well. It's the future of the Memphis Grizzlies now that the new TV media rights deal has been signed for 11 years and $76 billion by the NBA. Quite interesting and something we're going to have to get ready for. But let's go ahead and grab a break and get into hour number two. And leading off hour number two, that's Jeff Calkins. He's next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.